You hear that? That's the sound of Pepsi Zero Sugar, the better tasting, more refreshing Zero Sugar Cola. Listen to that endless pour. Pure refreshment. If it sounds this good, just imagine how it tastes. Oh yeah, so good. Pepsi Zero Sugar. Let your taste decide.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's Gallant at the G, Yo, and George.
Thanks, Joe.
Yeah!
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
Got him. Give him 12 straight starts of six innings or more. Hunter Brown has been phenomenal for the Astros. And he walks off leading 4-1.
Another nice performance by Hunter Brown to help the Houston Astros avoid a sweep at the hand of the Oakland Athletics, the last games ever that the Astros will play in the Oakland Alameda County Coliseum. They actually finished with an all-time winning record there. One of two teams to have that, the A's themselves and the Astros, with a 55-54 record. Hunter Brown has pitched so well over the course of the last couple of months. May 5th, his ERA was 9.78. After yesterday's outing, it's 4-flat. 8 strikeouts, 8 hits, 1 walk, 1 run against the A's yesterday. 6 innings for, as you heard from TK there, a 12th consecutive 6-inning-plus start. 11 of those starts have been quality starts. And it led to these comments from Astros manager Joe Espada after the game.
You know, we wanted to come here and win the series, but we didn't accomplish that. But we won a big game. You know, Hunter Brown set the tone from the beginning. He was really, really good. 6 strong, 8 punchies. He's kind of have that ace feeling to him. You know, we are expecting him to go out there and then deliver what he just did. We knew all along that is in him, and now he's starting to turn the corner, and he's starting to have that swag where he knows, hey, my team needs to win, and he did that. He delivered.
Joe, does Hunter Brown, as Joe Espada said, kind of have that ace feeling to him?
He has the feeling that the expectations, you know, while they were lofty and unrealistic because he had the same pitching motion as Justin Verlander, he finally has the feeling that he can meet those expectations. He's not there yet, but man, he at least has, there's a feeling that I think you could see the light at the end of the tunnel of if he's going to be an ace. You see it. You see the proof of concept a little bit.
Well, what do you mean by expectations with Verlander?
Because the fans saw the pitching ninja video where he threw the exact same way as Justin Verlander. He's from Detroit, and Justin Verlander was his idol. And when he called up, everyone said, "Oh, we got the next JV Cy Young winner."
But here that's the internet, and there's hyperbole and trope on that.
Sure. There is.
To be the next Verlander, I mean, we're talking about arguably the best pitcher in baseball for the 21st century.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's not going to be that guy. But he could be, you can see the ace material stuff. It doesn't mean he's going to be an ace, but you can see that he can be a very, very good pitcher in this league based on what he's done recently. And a big part of that, too, for Hunter Brown is the, it still sounds so sad because of what baseball expectations used to be, but just going 6 innings. The fact that he's been able to do that consistently when so few guys in the sport can do that now has been such a savior for the Astros, especially coming off a day in which you have to get so much from your bullpen.
Kind of has that ace feeling to him is how Joe Espada described it. I think that we got to be very careful with how we use that word in the same way that we should have been more careful with how we handed out the word elite to quarterbacks circa 2011 and 2012. I remember in sports radio back then that some people were actually having serious conversations about Matt Schaub as an elite quarterback. Joe Flacco has that awesome run in the 2012 playoffs. He has been proven elite as a quarterback. To bring it to this, ace is a title that should only belong to a select few major league pitchers. And even kind of having that ace feeling to him. Look, he had 8 strikeouts, and he's been pitching very well of late. But he's been pitching very well of late against bad teams. And this bad team, for what it's worth, had 8 hits against him. Could have been more if not for a couple of nice defensive plays by Alex Bregman and Jake Myers.
And it's interesting to see what happens when he faces these tough teams, if it works right away or if there's going to be a hiccup. Because it was the Twins start most recently, whereas the one where that's a good baseball team. But when you talk about him being challenged, I know that's not what you mean. You don't mean facing the Twins. You're talking about the Dodgers, the Orioles, like the cream of the crop, the Phillies, the Braves, those kind of lineups where you want to see him have great success. Even if he goes out and pitches, you know, against the Yankees at some point in the playoffs, that lineup's not special. You know, yes, Judge and Soto is challenging, but it's not like that's a deep, deep lineup. So I get what you're saying with that, because it's just he hasn't faced great teams. Now, you can only face who's in front of you, and he's done that very well. But I do get the... I get the vibes, the ace vibes from Hunter Brown. But I'm not going to call him an ace. Like I think those are two different things.
What's an ace?
One of the best 4 pitchers in baseball.
Okay. I like this. I like that we have gone over the course of this program to an exact definition.
Yeah, I like the card analogy. I don't know if that's what everyone else in the world uses when they talk about it, but I like that analogy. So
I'm going to be lazier and say, you know it when you see it.
Yeah.
So it's Mount Rushmore of pitching?
All right, now I'm out on 4. Give me 10.
it's just the Mount Rushmore of pitchers in 2024. Go. Yeah.
But it's what you see it. You see it. You know it. You see it. Because even like Garrett Cole's a weird one. We still call Garrett Cole an ace? Even though he's got 5.
This year, no. But with the amount of strikeouts he gets, yes. Yeah,
like he'll start 2025 in the ace category.
I was going to say, it's also different with a guy like Garrett Cole versus Hunter Brown, where Garrett Cole has, what? I don't have his page in front of me, but let's just say 5 ace-worthy seasons all in a row where... Yes, he hasn't been good this year, but I'm willing to look past that. And if you're in a playoff setting and Garrett Cole is pitching, you're going to feel good about that.
If we're being consistent with the cards, okay, there's 4 in baseball. Yeah. If we're being consistent with the description of an ace from World War I days, an ace pilot, I feel like an ace has to be a strikeout guy, someone who's getting batters out on his own, gunning them down, if you will. Brrr, you know, that was supposed to be the machine gun fire.
That was pretty good.
Okay. Yeah.
You have to be a strikeout guy. Mm-hmm. Brown, to his credit, has been striking a lot of people out. He did have 8 strikeouts yesterday. So, okay. Is it possible he's ever that guy? No, it's not. It's not. He had a good outing. He's had some good outings. I like that he's pitching better. I know Joe Espada didn't even say anything all that tropey and over the top. He said he kind of has that ace feeling to him.
Now. He also threw in it like, right now.
Yeah. And Junior Bronco comes up here on the Twitch. Ace is the number one pitcher on the staff. Is he?
No, right I don't agree with that.
Is it still Blanco? Or Fromber?
And Blanco, to your point. Yes. Yeah. Blanco is just number one.
I'm also not ready to give every team in the league an ace.
That's where I'm at. Every team can't have an ace.
Yeah.
Every team has a number one starter. Not every team has an ace.
Exactly.
I also think ace category, this helps Hunter Brown. And I agree. I think I'm kind of in the middle of you two, where I'm not saying he'll never be an ace like Paul, but I do see the signs that he could be one day, but I'm not ready to call him one right now. I'm not ready to stamp him with it right now. But one thing that helps him is the length of starts, because I do think that's a key part of being an ace is pitching for 6 or 7 innings. I think that is every time you go out there, there's not a 4-inning, 5-inning start.
Who's more of an ace? Framber Valdez, Ronel Blanco, or I guess Hunter Brown?
That's such a great question. Like the ace of the staff right now, Hunter Brown.
I mean, Fromber's supposed to be that guy.
I know, but I just don't trust him. Like, we've seen the faults of Fromber. So I have a harder time wrapping my mind around a Fromber getting to that point ever again consistently and not panicking every single time he picks up a ground ball.
Fromber as a fielder, though, is not related to Fromber as an ace.
Is it?
No. I look, he is horrible defensively often. But no, I think that's unrelated. The Fromber thing is interesting, though, to what your point about his meltdowns. They do happen. You would not want your star ace in your Air Force to be pulling a Denzel Washington in flight from time to time, you know, like flying upside down, yeah. Right? Like you want this person to have his wits about him. But with Ronel Blanco, it's a changeup that has been unhittable this year. With Hunter Brown, it's a two-seam fastball that goes in towards hitters that has been unhittable of late. With Fromber Valdez, it is consistently being able to create ground ball outs. Sometimes he has a big strikeout day, but I suppose right now, if you're comparing him to just Hunter Brown from that perspective, Brown's beating him of late. I'm taking Fromber of these three, and a part of it is this feeling in the back of my mind, much like I had with JP France last year. Eventually, this is all going to come back to reality. And with France was never as dominant as either of these two have been, so perhaps an unfair comparison. But I feel like with these two, the potential for them to go back to not necessarily what they were, Blanco last year, Brown earlier this year.
To regress.
To regress, yeah. It's certainly there.
Yeah.
Especially if they go up against better teams, and Hunter Brown has shown that against the Minnesota Twins the last time he went up against a good team.
I think I'm closer to saying that they don't have an ace than Fromber's an ace.
100%.
I don't think Fromber's an ace.
Yeah. Okay. How about this way? Let's say, at his age, but Justin Verlander's back. If everyone was on equal rest, and it was Game One of the ALDS, who do you think Joe Espada gives the ball to? Verlander, Fromber, Hunter Brown, or Blanco? They're all equally rested.
I would.
Verlander.
Yeah, I would think Verlander, and
you almost have to because of his seniority.
Yeah, I would want it to be Verlander.
Yeah,
I don't know that I would though in the playoffs. I don't know.
I know
you got the Verlander playoff dynamic with them.
Oh, okay, so here you go, Fromber. I trust you.
I know,
and then that's what you have to. That's what keeps Fromber away from, because Fromber is not a guy I want to give the car keys to at any moment.
I also don't want Fromber to not get the first start of the series, because if he gets the second one, he might have a mental breakdown because he didn't get the ball in Game One.
Yeah,
so that's the dance, and so it's almost more of like, if it's a 5-game series, who gets Game Three? Is it Blanco or it's Brown? For me, it's Hunter Brown. Like, he's not the ace of the staff. He's pitching the best on the staff right now. And he has ace vibes. But he's not an ace.
He's vibing, bro. Yeah.
He's got moments where I'm like, I see the vision. But I'm not buying into it totally.
Who's more of an ace? Ace Frehley or Ace Ventura?
Ventura?
Yeah, Ventura.
Say that with a question mark.
Give me Ventura. I don't know who Ace Frehley is.
That's why I said it that way, because I don't know who that is either.
Well, I mean, that's something that you could have easily, unlike Deshaun Foster.
Let me tell
Foster,
you some things about Ace Frehley.
Ace Frehley, for those who don't know, is from the band Kiss.
Oh, then Ace Ventura.
Oh!
Yeah.
Ace Frehley.
Not a Kiss guy.
Detroit Rock City. Banger. He is known as the Spaceman. Also, Space Ace.
Okay.
I had to look that up, though. I just know Kiss. I don't know any. I know Gene Simmons is in it. That's it, right? Did I get that right?
Yes.
That is funny. Okay. That bands just, like, for people that weren't there at the time, they really do just kind of get boiled down to the one famous guy. Like there's only room for us to have the name of one of the band members in our brains at one time.
It's also weird when you just Google him and it's all these photos without the Kiss makeup on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just a normal photo of him. And I'm like, well, that's not what I would think would populate. It would be an older photo.
They put on a show live.
Destroyer.
Put on a show live is what I hear. They're Generations Foo Fighters. How about that? How about that for a hot take? It's Kalan and George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 to call or to text. You can join us on our Twitch at ESPN975 or on YouTube at ESPN Houston. And by the way, you can also listen to us now on 97.9 HD2, giving you more and more ways to listen to the show.
And better ways.
Better ways.
Just to
right.
be honest, we know what it is. 97.9 is crystal clear. So if you have an HD radio in your car, flip it over. Check it out.
I've never figured out how to do that.
I don't have one in my car. but Granato has it. He says it's awesome.
So, oh, how about that?
Yeah.
I like it.
If John Granato endorses it, you know it's a good product.
Are we going to call C.J. Stroud an overrated quarterback at any point this coming season? And a question about your beloved Houston Texans. Next, Gallant and George, stay put.
If you're feeling good about the Astros the rest of the season, you can go over to LeBurge Lake Charles. Place a wager on them. Their in-season total is available. The Texans this year, if you're feeling the vibes, look, we talked about this earlier. You might want to get in on the C.J. Stroud MVP hype now if you wanted to place that wager. He's already moved from plus 1,400 to plus 850. You want to make sure you get on that bet if you want to get it sooner than possible. And the best place to do it is at LeBurge Lake Charles. 19 betting kiosks, the desk there, ESPN Bet. All different ways that you can bet at the property responsibly, of course. And honestly, one of my favorite parts, look, I love food. The food's great at LaBurge. There's blackjack tables there. The casino's great. Can't recommend it enough. When you want to leave Texas and bet on your Texas teams, make sure you do it at LaBurge Lake Charles.
This is Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now back to Paul and Joe inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Do you have what it takes to rock the mic? Well, you got until August 2nd to get your entries in, entering a 3 to 5 minute video with your best Houston sports take to rock the mic 975 @gmail.com. The winner of Rock the Mic will receive a podcast on our ESPN Houston YouTube channel. Winner will be announced at our live finale August 23rd at Carbach Brewery. Get your entries in now to Rock the Mic 975 @gmail.com. CJ Stroud hype has reached critical overload. I mean, you can't go anywhere on the internet without walking into a glaze storm for old CJ.
No, you can't ignore it.
CJ Swarm!
Brian,
glaze! Yeah, I was going to say glaze. No,
well, I thought you were too.
Listen, you know, some people like to swarm. Houston Texans defenders yesterday. Others like to glaze. Nothing wrong with glazing. Nothing wrong with swarming. Different strokes for different folks.
Some people were. I was looking at like our Facebook page and seeing the comments. There were a lot of people who were upset with Sting yesterday.
Derek Stingley.
Yeah, with hitting Schultz like that. Cheap shot on a teammate, they said.
It was a cheap shot on a teammate.
He's fine.
But I think it showed that that Derek Stingley Jr. is a little stronger than we all thought. So how about that? Brian Daboll is the head coach of the New York Giants. The NFL offseason edition of Hard Knocks is in full swing right now on Max, formerly known as HBO. And in a scene where Daboll's talking with everybody in his draft room about quarterbacks they should potentially draft, they start talking about the history of quarterbacks drafted over the last 10 years.
Let's go to the last 10 years in pro football. 2014, Blake Bortles, Johnny Manziel, and Teddy Bridgewater. 2015, Jameis Winston, Marcus Mariota. 2016, Jared Goff, Carson Wentz, Paxton Lynch. 2017, Mitchell Trubisky, Patrick Mahomes, Deshaun Watson. 18, Baker, Sam, Josh Lamar. 19, Kyler, Daniel. 20, Burrow, Tua, Justin Love, Lawrence, Wilson, Lance, Fields, Jones, Pickett, Bryce, and Stroud. How many of them hit in the last 10 years?
Oh, we're doing this.
Not a lot.
What do you take from that, Dames? Take a Stroud.
crowd.
The last person, Brian Daboll speaking there, after a dramatic pause with the buildup from HBO. Of all those quarterbacks, he said, give me the Stroud. And by the way, Patrick Mahomes was listed. Lamar Jackson was listed. Josh Allen, who he coached in Buffalo, was listed. He takes CJ Stroud. Again, everyone is putting this man on a pedestal. I love it. I also am entirely aware that there's going to be a conversation about him as overrated if he slips up just once. And it's all about what he does over the entirety of the year. I'm really curious to see what he's going to do this season. We all are. He's got all these weapons, the five-headed monster. But, man, the hype, Joe, it's insane right now. People are betting on him. I just want to get this thing started instead of talking about the hype.
Yeah, and I think the weapons that they added, it increases the pressure even more for him. You know, if CJ Stroud does have a sophomore slump and take a step back and the Texans miss the playoffs, the conversation at the end of the year will be tough because people are saying, look, you had healthy Tank Dell, you had Stephon Diggs, you had Nico Collins, who they paid, and you failed it to make the playoffs. And they will deem him overrated. And it might just take that too, where he could have a great statistical year, but if CJ can't help them overcome the tough schedule and make the playoffs in 2024, there will be some, not all, maybe less than just a bad game that will still put him in the overrated category. It's coming, honestly. Unless he goes to the AFC Championship game, there's gonna be people who call him overrated because they just, you got to go against the grain in this business sometimes, especially on TV. Like you gotta just zag. And if everyone's gassing up CJ still this year, people are gonna find any reason they can, and there will be reasons. Imagine if he has the Panthers game this year, what they're gonna say about him the next day.
Or the Jets game. I mean, he got knocked out of that game, but they looked like ass before he got hurt.
And like no one cared last year.
Mm-hmm.
This year, like, that's gonna be a tough look if it happens again.
Would you rather be, this is a hypothetical life question.
Okay.
A Zagger or a Glazer?
It's a good question.
I want to glaze a little bit more, you know? I want to compliment people more than I do. I'm a very negative person. I'm a bit of a hater. I want to be the best person I can be on this, the greatest day of my life. And really, that involves a lot of glazing.
You only have one guy that you glaze.
Who's that?
Tom Brady.
Yeah, but that's an exception.
Well, that's the rule.
No, but I'm saying he doesn't glaze anyone else.
I think I need to zag more.
You need to zag more?
Yeah. I think a lot of, like, Joe has bad takes is trying to be too positive.
Could be that.
I think I walk myself into I think I did a good job today with Hunter Brown. I'm going to self-evaluate.
Yeah.
I was trying to choose my words very carefully in those segments.
I feel like it started off as he's an ace.
Yeah.
And then you came back.
Yeah.
But see, this is where.
So I need to zag more, I think.
I think you have a lot of zagging potential. I think the big problem is that when I argue against you, you start agreeing with me. Don't you know I'm stupid?
No, you're not stupid.
I'm stupid. No, I'm stupid.
No, I just think I need to zag more.
Yeah, you could zag.
Yeah, I need to start to zag more.
You need to have confidence in the take and stay with it. Even if it's bad, just go down with the shit.
Yeah, a lot of times, you know, when I zag, it's not personal, but there's a dislike. Like, I'm like you with James
Harden. Well, zagging is going against the grain. I don't think it's hating.
Yeah, but I dislike James Harden because I just disliked him.
But I feel like at a certain point, the zag on James Harden is, this guy's awesome.
I know.
Yeah, that would be the zag. On this show, that would be the zag.
Yeah, I'm not going back. I'm not doing that.
Or just
though.
On sports radio. That's the zag.
Yeah.
But
I have honor. I'll never do that.
Yeah, so I think I need to zag more.
I also would rather zag than glaze. It's always good to have the skeptical eye, you know? Also, some of the glazing has gone too far, like the Stan accounts and stuff. I just don't want to be lumped in with them. And those guys are glazers.
But they're successful.
Are they?
Yes, the glazers, they go up in the world. I mean,
do they?
look, we talk about zagging all the time, but who is Nick Wright the biggest fan of?
Mahomes.
And LeBron.
But he zags on Jordan.
Yeah, but Jordan doesn't even play anymore.
Yeah.
Very easy thing to zag on somebody who's not there. Like, if I wanted to zag on Sid Luckman, it's like, oh, he volunteered for the Merchant Marine? You know, because we were talking about Sid Luckman earlier, 42 days away from the start of the NFL year. He played for the Chicago Bears, and he also served for our great nation in World War II, and he deserves a lot of credit for that. That would be the zag, is to say, oh, Merchant Marine? May as well dodge the draft.
To take a look behind the curtain, Paul was looking at his accomplishments and realized they're all during World War II, and he was gearing up for a take of, what, he didn't serve?
But I respect our troops.
And then he looked into it further and realized that he did serve basically on weekdays and during the offseason.
I searched several times, like, Sid Luckman.
Army?
Navy?
Air Force?
I don't even know what the Merchant Marine is, but he was in that.
Yeah, you could use a little more glaze in your life, though, Paul. You could use a little more positivity.
Yeah, 100%. I know that.
Just a little bit more.
I'm the most miserable person
You're
there
pretty
is.
Positive about the Texans, though.
I'm sing-songy in my misery. You know, I'm fun while I'm being a hater.
It is very, like crying clown.
It's true. It's I am Pagliacci. Like,
I am entertaining. I am entertaining you, but inside.
I'm Pagliacci,
100%. I did rewatch the video of the Thomas the Train Engine story. That you told yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to experience it, not next to you.
That's a true story.
I enjoyed it very much.
That's a true story. Yeah, I mean, say your train goes all the way up a hill, and then I think it chokes at the top, and it goes back. I mean, what would you do? Would you go all the way to the bottom? Mm. I'm surprised in the movie Titanic that the captain just sits there and just gets taken out by the water.
I mean, like,
there are some people who kill themselves on the Titanic movie.
But just get in the boat, man. You don't have to go down with the ship.
Yeah, throw a child into the water.
Like, just be the last one to get on the boat.
Yeah, yeah. I think captain going down with the ship is, like, actually not a good strategy to have. Same thing as, like, way back in the day when the generals would lead the army into battle. It's like, I get it. I get what the message that you're trying to send. Only takes one bow and arrow, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, our leader's out.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't have a general anymore.
Ronald Blanco, not the only pitcher in baseball this year with a no-hitter anymore.
Huh?
Dylan Cease, just threw a no-hitter against the Washington Nationals.
And he's not on the White Sox anymore.
He's on the Padres. You got that
correct. I had the same math in my head. Going, I know that name.
I was like, the White Sox can't do good things.
No. I remember when he was on the block from the White Sox and we did the Astros segments. I remember that.
I mean, Padres? Like, will they trade him?
This is interesting. So a couple people on the Twitch, Fake Tony Stark and Chalupa Batman, say Merchant Marine is someone who works on a container ship transporting cargo. That is actually extremely terrifying circa World War II if you were going over the Atlantic Ocean with all the U-boats out there.
Yeah.
Or in the Pacific with what you're loading up to go to Japan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Japanese sunk a couple of boats. Yeah. The boat that carried the...
Yeah, the USS Indianapolis.
Yeah, I mean, the one that carried the bomb. It got sunk, and yeah, that's... If you've ever seen the movie Jaws... Joe, have you seen Jaws?
Yes.
Okay. Well, Quinn.
That's right.
Quinn, when he has his monologue, he's after like,
that's right.
He was on the Indianapolis.
That's right.
Roll over, look at your big black doll eyes. Big black eyes like a doll's eyes.
I saw Jaws advertised for me on one of my streaming platforms as I was scrolling through movies.
Give it a watch.
Without the Astros on tonight, that might be what I'd do.
I'm mad at myself.
Summer flick.
I'm mad at myself for not having watched Jaws on the 4th of July. I watched Predator instead. Predator's
is
a great
like
movie. Your,
is
great
that like
movie.
A 4th of July tradition for you?
Oh, Jaws? Oh, Jaws is a 4th of July tradition for a lot
it's
of people.
It's a 4th of July movie.
Yeah. It happened on the 4th of July.
Yeah, no, I just don't typically like think like watch a movie on the 4th of July. I might start now.
It's the best summer movie.
It is the best summer movie?
I think so. I mean, I'm a little...
Independence Day.
Yeah, you know what? I'll walk
but
that
I think Jaws is a better movie, but it doesn't fit the theme as well as
not
actual Independence Day.
Got to pay attention. Anyway, Galana George, he's Joe. I'm Paul, Sean behind the glass, ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and 97.9 HD2. Coming up next, we've got some free stuff for you and a potential Houston Astros trade. Stick around.
You're listening to Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant and Joe George.
It is Gallant and George on a Thursday. No Astros game today. They did beat the Los Angeles Angels. They beat the Oakland Athletics in the last ever game ever at the Coliseum, 8-1 Dodgers this weekend. The 2024 Hunters Extravaganza is here. Go see the newest in hunting products, clothing, rifles, knives, and more. You know, I did say I was going to buy a gun, I believe, 4 years ago today. Maybe I should actually do it. Mm. Cool. 4 years, 4 years ago today is when Tucker Carlson took a big old dump on me at
really?
The beginning of his show. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I think it was the 25th of July, 2020. Summer of Love up in Seattle. Anyway, the 2024 Hunters Extravaganza, August 2nd through 4th, and we're giving away a pair of tickets right now! 713-780-3776. Again, 713-780-3776. And if you go next Friday, make sure you find Gallant and George and the Killer Bees. We're going to be there from noon until 6.
Can't wait.
John Heyman, who has blocked me on Twitter, brought up a couple of potential trade possibilities for the Houston Astros. Specifically one, Joe, that's got you going. It's got you all worked up. He's talking about Isaac Paredes.
Yeah, he's interesting because so all of his home runs are pull home runs.
He's a Tampa Bay Ray first baseman.
Also a third baseman.
Okay.
And what's interesting is that when, you know, Heyman has been talking about this, because he's done it in multiple places, he keeps bringing up Bregman.
Why?
And that Bregman's gone. That it is essentially, it is, you know, I think like one of them was like, we all know he's leaving. And so it's interesting because it's Paredes comes in. He can play first base for this year, help you get to the playoffs, try to win another World Series. But you're also essentially bringing in a guy that could be your third baseman following for the rest of his contract when Alex Bregman leaves in free agency. So that kind of stood out to me. But it's all of his home runs are pull. And so Isaac Paredes has 16 home runs this year. If he played in Baltimore, he would only have 6 this year. If he played in Houston, he'd have 24. So all this dude does is pull and go right into the Crawford boxes. So it's interesting because it solves a big problem now. It looks it's everyone's talking about like it's a sure thing that Bregman's gone, which I think we all kind of agree with, but I had some hope that they would still find a way to get him on a short-term deal. But this is a problem solved now and a problem solved for the future. So it's a good move. It can't be your only move at the deadline, though, because you need a starting pitcher.
Yes.
I would much rather just get the starter than get a position
player. I wish I heard a name that they were mentioning that's a pitcher. And again, the Astros are probably going to play things close to the vest as best they can so that they can have the most bargaining power possible. But John Heyman saying that doesn't make me feel like that's like at the absolute front of their wish list. Mm-hmm. But I guess, Joe, there's some Tampa Bay writers who believe otherwise.
Yeah, Mark Topkin from the Tampa Bay Times. Zach Eflin, who pitched yesterday for the Tampa Bay Rays, he penned an article. You know, always the question for a team that's going to sell, is this the last start? And the guy we brought, you know, we mentioned yesterday as we were going
He was on that list, right?
He was on that list.
Did I say yes or no? I don't even remember.
I think we said no to Zach.
Oh, no.
But he said, Mark said that the Astros, Braves, and Cardinals are among the teams expected to have strong interest in Zach Eflin. But what's kind of interesting about all this is like, well, if like they're being connected to Paredes and they're being connected to Eflin, like, is there a way you just go 2-for-1 right now? And you get your first base problem and you get your starter in one deal. Maybe you give up a bigger name prospect, but you can get both those, you can solve both those problems at once. The Astros have also made some interesting moves where they brought up Jacob Melton today, their top prospect, who I think was like number 67 the last time I checked. In the top 100 prospects for MLB prospectus. Like, if he's coming up, I don't know if it means they're moving someone else up to the bigs, like Pedro Leon, who we talked about yesterday, if they're just preparing to trade Pedro Leon in all of these moves. But It's just it feels like the Rays are the best dance partner for the Astros at the deadline. I don't know if that means a good thing or not, but it just those are the team they're most heavily connected to for any player.
Isn't this a spot where you wish you still had James Click? Prior relationship with the Rays.
Yeah. It'd be nice.
Would help. They do look like they are sellers, even though they're still playing like just decently enough.
Yeah, just, I guess it's the cheap franchise thing, where it's like, if we're not going to make the playoffs, we might as well sell these guys and get prospects.
And you would think that the Rays, given how well they've been run, given that they're broke over the last couple of years, they'd be looking for some sort of a prospect. Also of note, Jacob Melton called up to AAA Sugarland. Sugarland Space Cowboys Baseball. I mean, they're the first half champions.
Yeah, but
now they're bringing more pieces up.
They are.
You don't seem excited about this.
Well, they did something that I...
Oh, you're right. I forgot about this.
They cut Luke Berryhill.
Luke Berryhill, who caught my first pitch and told me that it was the best first pitch he'd thrown all year.
They cut him.
They did cut him. But he also told Jeremy that as well. He's doing some country music on the side. Mm-hmm.
I think we have to acknowledge, and you know, we have to acknowledge that there's been two ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 nights.
Mm-hmm.
And last year,
did Luke catch last year's too?
No, Corey Lee did right before he got traded.
Oh no, there's a curse.
So Corey Lee caught it. They traded him. Mm-hmm. Luke caught it this year. He got cut. So
yeah, it's a bummer for Luke. Luke and I follow each other now. We're best friends.
Did you reach out to him and say, "Hey man, I hope you're okay"?
Well, I haven't seen him post about it, so I feel like I got to wait for him to post about it to reach out.
Yeah, he's probably still hoping to.
Because notes app, yeah.
Like a long one?
He did post a video, and I haven't watched it. And it was about the same day that this news was dropped. Perhaps it was even before. It's got an interesting caption.
Based on this caption, should I just read it?
You can read it.
What does having true faith in Jesus really mean? Don't be deceived about this. Many people are in danger and don't even know it. I'm going to anticipate, Paul, that this video is not about getting cut.
I'm wondering if it's got some hot takes. If it's spicy.
Oh, I could see that.
And if it's related. Yeah, anyway, it is Gallant and George. We've just opened up a can of worms. 713-780-3776 is how you call in. It's how you text in as well. In garbage time, we talk about a day that has been proclaimed a holiday, and how much did Texas spend on their SEC party? You'll find out.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Well, unfortunately, my friend, Mason Miller, just kidding, a reliever who I really like, has a fractured pinky in his left hand, a non-pitching injury, so he's smart on this front because he punched it. He pounded a padded training room in frustration after Monday night's win against the Astros? What?
I don't remember enough what he'd be mad about.
What would you be mad about?
But, okay.
It's a non-pitching injury, so he's smart enough when he's frustrated to not use his pitching hand. That's very smart. But, damn.
I'm assuming he still gets traded at the deadline. Like, Craig Kimbrell apparently just had like an all-time meltdown for the Orioles, and they still won the game, but they need a closer desperately.
Man, they've been bad in the bullpen.
So,
a year and a half. Remember when last year their bullpen was one of the best in baseball, and then they played the Astros, and downhill from there?
Yeah, because their closer got hurt, and then the Astros just like destroyed them mentally.
They killed them. Did he get hurt in that series?
I think he did. He either got hurt in that series or immediately after.
Yeah, I think it was like right after.
Yeah, it was either in it or, yeah.
That sounds right.
I would imagine that Mason Miller still gets traded, though, for a ton. And you're just like, hey, I hope this pinky finger is healed by the playoffs.
Dude, I mean, two-month kind of injury.
I don't know anything about injuries, man. Kyle Tucker, chop his leg off at this point. So
we haven't heard anything new about him today, but he should be back by September.
It is his left
pinky. Or they'd be disappointed.
It is his left pinky, so.
Yeah.
For righty pitcher,
you could
of the fingers to chop off.
Yeah. Like, you could still catch a ball.
Come on. Yeah, Ronnie you probably Lott still did do it. That. We're 42 days away from the NFL season. Ronnie Lott did it.
Good point. True. Good point.
I don't know, though. It might hurt your ability to squeeze the glove. I truly do not know.
Yeah, but it's like, what? So then he can't, you know. So if a ball comes his way, he just has to barehand it or just duck.
Guess how much Texas spent on their party to celebrate joining the SEC.
$800,000.
You are incorrect, sir. Sean.
I already know. Over $2 million. Let me guess. Over $2
million. Nice. Got it. $2.3 million for their party to celebrate their entrance into the SEC.
Did you see how much they paid Pitbull?
That's what I'm looking for in this article right now. I'm assuming that half of that went to Pitbull.
Less than half.
Oh!
A sizable amount.
$610,000 for Pitbull. Pitbull cleaned up, Dale. Yeah. I mean...
That was almost Joe's entire guess, was the Pitbull
how much,
budget.
So Pitbull made $1.2 million.
$610,000.
Nope, performing for Texas and the WNBA.
Oh.
Like,
is that what he got for the WNBA?
I'm just assuming that's his rate.
That's his rate. $600,000?
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense.
Yeah, I'm just assuming, like, first of all, a rate.
Maybe he was... It might have been a longer set for UT than WNBA.
I could see that. I could see that.
I could see it being like a half rate or something. But
he's probably doing like 20. First of all, I don't know. I know like two Pitbull songs. So I'm just imagining him up there for 30 minutes not knowing any of it. But
I don't know. You got Timber.
That's one of the two I know.
Got the Fireball.
That's the other one.
Yeah.
That's the other one I know.
Hotel Room. I can go all day.
All right, guys.
Along with
Neo. ESPN 97.5's biggest Pitbull fan, Sean Mix.
Who would have thought?
By default, I think.
Who would have thought? All right, time for garbage time.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage time.
It's garbage.
Starts now.
I'm the trash man.
This is garbage.
Happy Kamala Harris Day. Lena Hidalgo announced that today is Kamala Harris Day. I don't know if it's Kamala Harris Day going forward, but she's here in town to check on Hurricane Beryl recovery and to speak at a teachers union convention.
Mm-hmm.
What can be unburdened by what has been? And by the way, I'm sure, speaking of unburdened, I'm sure that our highways today are burdened to allow for proper transportation for a 2024 presidential candidate. That's the worst part about whenever a politician comes to Houston, regardless of party, traffic is going to get effed up.
I told this to Paul as he was going to get some water earlier. I was an hour and a half late to my interview at 6:10 to be a producer there because Donald Trump was here. And all the highways were blocked off. It was not fun. Thankfully, the person who was interviewing me was very understanding. Because she also did the traffic department, so she knew exactly what was wrong with me. So, like, it kind of worked out. Where I was like, hey, not going to make it. Don't know when I'm going to be there. And then I remember going to the front desk, and I was like, hey, I'm here for an interview. And Leroy was like, the guy who worked there. He was like, what time was the interview? I was like, an hour and a half ago. And he goes, dude. I'm like, I know, man. She knows. Okay? I'm like, she knows.
I do like the judgment coming
through. I know. I was like, this front desk person is judging me.
I know. Leroy's a good dude.
He's
That's
the
funny.
Best. We had a great relationship after that.
One of the nicest people ever. Yes. He's like, dude.
I was an hour
That's
going to
hurt.
Like, I was an hour and a half late for an interview.
Embrace debate. I don't know if anyone saw Jennifer Lopez, possibly single based off of this picture. She posted a picture to Twitter. It's her 55th birthday. And, she looks like a strong, powerful, independent woman. Embrace debate, is Jennifer Lopez an athlete? Because if you look that good at age 55, like, don't you have to be an athlete? You're certainly athletic. She dances in concerts and stuff. Yeah, I'm going to say Jennifer Lopez is an athlete. Strong, powerful, independent woman.
I'm going to say she's athletic.
Yeah, she's an athlete.
I don't know if I can go athlete. I think you're... I still don't know what any of her athletic accomplishments are.
Dancing is a sport. So.
All right. So she's an athlete.
Thank you.
I don't want to get canceled.
She'd just yell at you like the character in South Park that they make up.
Yeah. I'm going to avoid
Who's
that
this
possible.
Bitch? Southwest, it's getting rid of open seating.
I don't know how I feel about this.
I'm happy with it. The problem is it takes way too long to get on the plane. Just do it the way that most companies do it.
Yeah.
And also, I hate that, like, hey, I have to sign in early to check in so I could get, like, C-39.
I will say, I feel like this mean I may no longer fly Southwest.
I have a Southwest rewards card, and I believe I should be properly compensated for that card, which I pay an annual fee for.
Paul?
Yeah?
Same.
Yeah.
I also have one. Let's get some compensation going.
Right, that's what I mean. Like, give me better seats for this. What, I gotta wait in a line?
Just do what I did.
I want to be group two.
I can get you in group one.
Oh.
Just have a kid. You get to go first.
Oh.
One of the perks.
So that's where the line is.
When we just flew back from Florida, I was like, that was one of the perks, because we got to go on after the A group. Oh. But now.
Oh, you're still in the B group, though.
You're in the, like, you're ahead of the B group.
This is crazy.
But you're not in the A group.
You have to pay such a ridiculous fee to get in the A group, and you still might end up with the crappy seat.
It's true. It's true.
Anyway, that's going to wrap up today's edition of Gallant and George. He is Joe. I am Paul. Big thanks to Sean Mapes behind the glass. Until tomorrow. Friday, got to get down on Friday. So long, farewell, and have yourselves a wonderful Thursday. Peace!
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.